Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. This week we've been kind of rubber meets the road talking about giving. All month we've been talking about grace and money, is, you know, and it's kind of strange to think of the two actually connecting, but they do. But this week, it's the practical side of it. How do you give? Why do you give? What should you expect in terms of giving? And we've been using 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So on Monday, we talked about willingness. Yesterday, we talked about this expectation of fairness, equity, and real honesty. And today, we're going to move into chapter 9. And talk about enthusiasm, to give enthusiastically. And I'm going to read the first five verses of chapter 9, and I think you'll get the point. This is enthusiasm that's tempered with hard-nosed practicality. So Paul says, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this manner should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given." And so what you see here is the wisdom of Paul, the Spirit-given wisdom, where he appreciates somebody's enthusiasm, but he wants them to move beyond the emotion of giving to the planning of giving and let the planning follow through and really be able to deliver what they've committed to. And then the enthusiasm is a positive thing. Enthusiasm turns to grudge very quickly if it's not followed by the planning. And he doesn't want them to be grudgingly turning over money like, "Oh, here it is." Yeah. He wants them to continue that enthusiasm. And the way to continue the enthusiasm is to plan the giving and to give what you've planned and let the Holy Spirit work in you to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Andrew, what do you think about this?
Well, Richard, you know, Bob, it seems like the issue here, too, is you've got this big figure. I mean, Paul, mm-hmm. the Apostle Paul, who is intimidating to some people. I mean, he's written a lot of the New Testament, and he's coming to visit them. And imagine the Apostle Paul shows up on your doorstep and says, "Okay, I'm ready for this gift that you promised." So he sends these guys in ahead, and it's really, to me, it's a signal of Paul's sensitivity. He's not going to pressure these guys. He's not going to lord this over these guys. And you compare that, Richard, you compare it with today, some of the pressure tactics that we see out there, some of the manipulation that we see out there. And then you look at the sensitivity of the Apostle Paul, who's saying, "Hey, I want you to give, but I do want it to be from the heart. I want it to be without any pressure. And so I'm sending these guys ahead to discuss the gift that you had promised, and they're going to collect the gift, and it's not going to be me in your face." And I love that about the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
Yeah. Good thoughts, guys. Well, we've got the broadcast underway now, and we want to hear from you. We have open lines. If you'd like to join this discussion, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call across the country and in Canada. If you live in the New York, New Jersey area, Washington, D.C., Louisville, Kentucky, Denver, Colorado, out in the West Coast, in San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento area, we want to hear from you on this edition. So give us a call. The lines are wide open right now, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Richard Piper and me, and we're glad you have as well. Guys, shifting gears just a little bit here, this is a question from Cleo, who writes to us from Citrus Heights, California. Says, "There's a lot of doctrine circulating among Christians regarding getting saved after one dies. If you die and you have not given your heart to Christ and go before the throne of God, supposedly you can ask for forgiveness then and get saved by his love. What are your thoughts regarding this, and is there any biblical basis for that belief?
Yeah, you know, this is called inclusionism. It's the idea that everyone is ultimately included. Another term for it would be ultimate reconciliation. And unfortunately, it is rampant in the New Covenant world today. People have been mixing this idea in, and it really ruins the gospel because you end up having to tear pages out of the Bible. My goodness, I mean, you look at Revelation chapter 20, and there are people who are not in heaven. Instead, they are thrown into the lake of fire. They've rejected the gospel. They were repelled by the person and work of Christ. They chose not to believe. And there's a heavenly, an afterlife consequence for that. And so, you know, what I'm afraid of, maybe you see this, Richard, you know, it seems like what we do is we look at the character of God and we sum it all up in love. And that's one thought. But then to just say God is love only and God is love always in every situation with no sense of justice, no punishment for anyone ever, no consequences for sin, everyone is ultimately reconciled. Well, it's a pipe dream. If you're going to go with the God of the Bible, you're going to have to look at the whole story and not go cherry picking.
Oh, yeah. And I do see that all over the place. And it's tragic because what it sets people up for is incredible disappointment because the God that's presented, at least to my way of thinking, isn't worth worshiping in the first place. I mean, what kind of God who claims to be the creator of the universe and died for us and was raised for us and is doing all of these things that only God can do, what kind of God turns mealy-mouthed all of a sudden and says, well, there, it's okay after all? That's not a God worth worshiping.
Yeah. Yeah, and you look at Hebrews 6 and 10, these warnings about unbelief.
Yeah.
And these are just a couple of warnings. But, I mean, God would basically just be, miming these sort of things. They would be meaningless. They would just be warnings for the sake of warning to see what people will do. But, you know, they're real warnings about unbelief. And then he talks about fire that will consume the enemies of God. If anyone has rejected the gospel, this is the consequence. And so, you know, we begin tearing out Hebrews 6, we tear out Hebrews 10, we tear out Revelation 20, and we just keep tearing and tearing, you know, the sheep and goats in Matthew 25. We just start deleting parts of the message until we can get God the way we want him. And unfortunately, that's happening all too often today. But I'll tell you, Richard, you know, I mean, what in the world does this say about the sacrifice of Jesus? It wouldn't even be necessary if God was just going to be sweet and didn't require justice.
Yeah, yeah, it ruins everything. And I'm not saying this, and I know you're not saying it either, Andrew, just so that we can wreak vengeance on the unbelievers. That's not what it's about at all.
No.
It's about a God who has stated the conditions. Accept my son and get eternal life, or reject my son and die eternally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clear choice, and to be tearing the Bible apart like this, I mean, all it is creating a God in our own image, a different
That's
kind
right.
of an image, but it's just another form of idolatry, and it's damnable. I mean, it is taking people who would otherwise might have been saved and sending them to hell.
And that is
a bad thing.
Yeah, and you're right to point out, I mean, my goodness, God's will, God's desire, God's heart is that none perish but all believe. That's what he wants, and so he's opened the floodgates, and the cross means that the gospel is unleashed on all the Jews and all the Gentiles, and he wants us to believe, but you know, we're submitting. I mean, I hope that's what the listeners hear. We are submitting to God's character, and we're submitting to the whole message of the gospel. We don't want to pick and choose because we're not calling the shots here. The God of the universe is.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, Cleo, hope you're listening, and hope that's been a help to you. Open lines, time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you. Come on and join the conversation. You know, we hear the term being fashionably late. Well, friends, don't be fashionably late because the program's going to be over before you call if you do. 1-800-677-9377, toll free in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a wonderful opportunity for our listeners and supporters to really join us and make their gift double impact right now, because we have this wonderful matching gift challenge going on right now. The board of directors has stepped up to the plate and offered a $25,000 matching gift challenge, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to have the double blessing of giving through Basic Gospel to reach as many as possible through this radio broadcast.
Yes, and it's been fun to watch the money come in. It's come in large donations. We've had some over $1,000, $2,000 donations. We've had a whole bunch of $10 and $20 and $25 donations, and it's the fact that whoever you are and wherever you find yourself in life financially, you can have the desire of your heart in terms of giving to this ministry doubled in impact. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful gift that we've been given, this challenge, and it's a wonderful gift that you give us, our listeners give us, in answering this challenge. And trust me, this money is going to be used to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as we possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've heard, we at Basic Gospel, we really appreciate the fact that so many of you have stepped up to the plate to be a part of this. And, you know, we couldn't do it without you. What a privilege, an absolute privilege we have to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of his love and grace. So, you know, make your gift double impact this time with this matching gift challenge. You can go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828, again, 800-727-2828, and join us, friends. This is a wonderful opportunity to make your gift really count through this matching gift challenge.
Yeah, let me say something there, Bob. You know, I was first a listener and then became a supporter. And after 20-some years now, I'm serving on the board. And I just want to say that, I've had the opportunity over the last two decades to get to know these ministers of the gospel that I now work with, and these staff. And they have everything streamlined. They have truly streamlined it the best they possibly can, and continue to streamline it such that maximum benefit comes from your gifts. And I've never seen anything like it. I mean, do you realize maybe you're hearing this gospel and this broadcast in one city today where you live, but there are dozens of cities being impacted across the United States and beyond. And so I'm excited that the board has done this, and every gift, just look at the benefit that can come from any gift.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you give, you're not just giving to Basic Gospel, you're giving through Basic Gospel, because as Andrew said, we get, if we can use a kind of a vernacular, we get more bang for the buck from the gifts that come into this ministry than just about anybody I've ever encountered. So make your gift double count this time with our matching gift challenge. Go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 up to 6 o'clock Central Time today. Well, guys, a question from an anonymous writer, a lady from Waco, Texas, and this is a little bit involved, so just bear with me as I express her heart here. She says, I am in desperate need of help. My boyfriend of 6 years just ended it. No argument, nothing. He just walks away. He has done this several times in the last few years, but always comes back and says, I am the love of his life. We get along great. I think he starts feeling trapped, even though we have a long-distance relationship. He cheated on me in our last breakup, and I think he's with her now. I believe he is the love of my life as well, and he is my best friend. She says, I'm 45, a strong, independent woman. I've been divorced, and it was not this hard. I'm struggling with asking God, why is this happening, as well as giving it over to him to take away my worries, my anxiety. My mind races constantly with the what-ifs. Where is he? Is he with her? Why is this happening? And remembering all the good times. I pray a lot for help and for strength through this, yet I keep torturing myself with these thoughts. They aren't productive, only harmful to me. How do I stop this? And what am I doing wrong in my prayers? I know he will get me through this. He has shown me so many times in my life that he's there. And I am just lost and feeling so empty. She goes on to say, I have many blessings in my life, beautiful children and grandchildren, friends who are there at the drop of a hat, and I'm so very thankful for them. Why can't I move on? I pray that if God doesn't want me with this man, then give me strength to shut down all these feelings, but they never numb. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated.
Well, you know, that is a great question. I appreciate her just being willing to disclose her heart and some of the struggles she's going through. You know, it's tough to be in a roller coaster relationship with anyone. And she used the term torturing myself. I just want to encourage her to reconsider what she is putting herself through. Number one, you are free. I mean, you're free to keep entertaining this guy and let him run off and do who knows what and then come back and then entertain him for a while again and then watch him leave again. But the writing is on the wall. I mean, he's already proven his character to you. He's already proven how he defines love. And his definition of love is worlds apart from the biblical definition of love.
Yeah.
His definition of love is, I will leave you and I will forsake you. And but I'll come back and act like we're, you know, best friends and nothing's happened. And so I'm going to have you in a yo-yo experience and up and down, up and down. And so I just want to encourage her to consider once and for all setting up a boundary, a healthy boundary, where she is not looking to the creation, but rather to the Creator to get her needs met. And obviously he's been meeting some need to feel like she belongs and feel loved and feel cared for. But he's been very poor at it. And it just, it speaks to human nature and the inability for this man to really meet her needs. I want to encourage her to consider breaking it off and do something healthy for herself and look to Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the issue, and she stated it right at the end, she wants God to help her with her feelings. She is so wrapped up in her feelings that she is not thinking. And God promised to renew our minds. And then, you know, our wills follow what we're thinking properly, and then our emotions can follow suit after that. And I agree completely with you, Andrew. This gentleman, as much as she likes him, whatever they have together and click together and have this relationship, whatever else it is, he has demonstrated that he will leave her and forsake her, and that is not any workable definition of love. She's got to choose life and healthy relationships over this manipulative thing that is just tearing her apart.
Absolutely. Well, again, friends, a little time on the clock, and we'd love to hear from you. Love for you to be a part of this broadcast at 1-800-677-9377. As I've said so many times, that's why we're here live on the air, so that you can be a part of the broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Richard, you had the opportunity to address this question on the late broadcast yesterday. And this is from our friend Lucy, who lives in San Diego, and she says, have you heard about the blood moons of 2014 and 15? There's a whole movement out there interpreting these events as significant in the scope of end times. What do you think about those things? That's from Lucy in San Diego.
Well, there's some really good information out there about it. And yesterday I got part of it wrong. I'll correct that at the 3:30 broadcast. But the blood moons have to do with a sequence of lunar eclipses during full moons that happen to coincide with Jewish feast days. So you think about Passover and Yom Kippur and things like that, that they coincide. Well, what makes it so exciting for people these days is that the situation only occurs once in a while. And the last times that it happened, there have been three times in the 20th century. One was, I believe, in 1917, when Israel was actually told they could go back to their Holy Land, right? And then it happened in 1948 when they became a country. And then it happened in 67 during the wars then,
right?
And when Israel was almost overrun but miraculously prevailed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a miracle. And so now here it is coming up again, and people are asking, so what's going to happen in Israel this time? Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting question, and I ask it myself, but I don't ask it from the standpoint of, well, does that mean Jesus is coming back in 2015? And you never hear the question, is Jesus coming back in 2015? You always hear it breathlessly, oh, is he coming back in 2015? Don't ask it that way. Say, Lord, if there's anything here that is important, show it to me when it comes, so that I can hold this as more proof of you being in control, and I can trust what you have for the future. If you go anything beyond that, you're setting yourself up for disappointment and date setting and just all kinds of bad stuff. Yeah, but it can be a fascinating conversation and gives you entrance into other people for talking about Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, sure it can. And you know, what I hear you guys saying too is that, I mean, we always, no matter how we talk about this or no matter what signs we look to, the Bible very clearly, Jesus himself very clearly says, no one knows the day, no one knows the hour, no one even knows the epoch or the time period, and it's going to come like a thief in the night. So, you know, we get out our math problems and we look at this verse and that verse and this sign and that sign. It's kind of like the Jews who looked for signs while the Greeks looked for wisdom. We're looking and looking, but God has promised us we are not going to see this one coming. So it's exciting to look, and it's exciting to anticipate the return of the Lord. But at the same time, we just know it's not going to be a math problem, and we're not going to be prophesying accurately about this thing. And, you know, to me, it can be a tantalizing distraction for many Christians, when really we just need to be looking at what has Jesus already done when he came the first time?
Yes.
And what are the depths of the gospel for me, and what am I supposed to enjoy today?
Yeah, good thoughts, guys. Well, quickly to Brooklyn, New York, let's talk to Martin, listening on WMCA. Martin, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
From you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I remember I called last week on a Thursday.
Yeah, Martin, if you could speak up a little louder for us, it's a little hard to hear you.
Well, yes, I'm trying my best here. Well, my question for the afternoon, for today, in reference to John 10:27, where the Word of God says, my sheep hear my voice, something like that. If you can explain to me what it's trying to say.
Yeah, well, Jesus says in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So, you know, backing up and look at a couple of verses before that, Jesus is talking. He's talking about miracles. He says, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. So here he is doing some incredible signs and wonders, miracles, healing people. And he's saying, look, I know you're fascinated by this stuff, but it's not actually coming from me. It's coming from my Father, who is God himself. And yet all they see is the miracle. All they see is the wonder, the sign. They're fascinated almost like a magic trick, but they've missed the point. I mean, Jesus feeds 5,000, and then he says, I am the bread of life. He raises Lazarus from the dead, and he says, I am the resurrection. There's a point to these miracles. They are shaping our view of Jesus and of God. They are pointing us to the identity of Christ. And, you know, if all we see is the miracle, then we've missed it. There's a message behind the miracle, and that message is about the identity and work of Jesus Christ, who he is and who his Father is.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, thanks for that, and thanks to everybody for tuning in for this one. We're just about out of time, and Martin, hope that answers your question, and if you have further questions, hope you keep listening and call us again. You know, as we've mentioned, we have an excellent matching gift challenge between now and the 31st, and you can double the reach of your ministry by joining with us. Every contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. Normally, a gift of $175 reaches 500 people. And thanks to the Matching Gift Challenge, that same $175 gift can now reach 1,000 people with the gospel message. Of course, your gift in any amount is doubled. So this is a perfect time to offer your most generous gift, whatever that may be, and really make it count to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. Calling 1-800-727-2828 today, you can make your gift. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or link online at basicgospel.net. Please be sure to include choose matching gift as the fund designation. We also accept donations through PayPal. Currently, this is the best way for those of you outside the borders of the United States to support the ministry. And thank you for helping us broadcast the only message that matters with your matching gift. Also, be sure to check out our website for information on our upcoming Bible conference, Stand 2014. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st. All the information is available at basicgospel.net. Of course, Andrew Farley will be there, Bob Christopher and John Lynch, and it'll be a wonderful time. Hope you'll make plans now, while there's still plenty of time to make those plans. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.